Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
We only have a limited window with him for obvious reasons, but my respect for this person, both on and off the air, is as high as it could possibly be. That's Dave Refson from BTN. Dave, welcome. It's so great to have you with us. Thanks for the time.
Oh, it's good to be with you, and the respect is mutual, as you well know, Steve.
Well, thanks, Dave. Dave, I'm sitting there on Sunday night, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I still don't know who Penn State's playing. What does that tell you about what we just witnessed over the past 2.5 months of the Big Ten?
Man, it was crazy, Steve. I've never seen anything like this. I really feel like it was all capsulized in the notion that Northwestern going into that Rutgers game, which for all intents and purposes was the last game that impacted the standings in the Big Ten, could have been the second seed with a win or the ninth seed with a loss. I've never seen anything like that. Like, it's just crazy to have 10 teams that won at least 10 conference games. That has never happened before. To have the number of close games we had, the number of overtime games, it's really been incredible. It's been a lot of fun to watch for us. I mean, it's obviously made for incredible drama and great TV, and the uncertainty of just not knowing who's going to win on a game in, game out basis, I think, has been really good. It's caused a little confusion, no doubt. I mean, we certainly have a lot of teams that are kind of, Penn State obviously among them, they're kind of hanging on that bubble, right? You just don't know where it's going to go for them, because we didn't have that many teams put as much distance between themselves and kind of the cut line for the NCAA tournament as we normally do. But I think when all said and done, we head to Chicago here with 11 teams thinking they legitimately have a shot to get in.
Yeah, no question. One that we know is in is Northwestern. It is interesting that Ryan Young ended up transferring to Duke, Pete Nance to North Carolina. Two very good players and quality individuals, without question. And Chris Collins is not given much of a chance this year. What did you think watching them play out this season?
It is a crazy story, Steve, because not only do you lose, as you said, a starter to North Carolina and a really key reserve to Duke, but you really didn't replace him with much of anything. I mean, they got
right. Yeah.
Titus Verhoeven in the transfer portal from UTEP. He's been a decent piece for them, and I think it's kind of gotten better as it's gone along. Their freshman, one of them got hurt, who I actually think was going to be a pretty good player and will be a pretty good player. The other one has played a very spot role. So for all intents and purposes, it's the same team as last year, minus two of their three or four best players, and Nance was probably their best player last year. Really what it is they just bought in on the defensive end. I mean, Chris made a really good hire with Chris Lowry, who has come in. He was head coach of Southern Illinois, did a great job there. He's on Bruce Weber's staff for many years at Kansas State. And he basically turned over the defense to him and kind of said, hey, what do you think we're doing here? Why aren't we better? Why aren't we tougher? And they really overhauled the way that they play. And it's been a great story. And then Boo Booey, who certainly Penn State fans are familiar with, is he's the half-brother of Taylor Battle, who, of course, is on Chris's staff as well. Boo's really elevated his game. He just – it's a lot smarter game, I'd say, than it's been in the previous few years. We certainly saw that he had the potential in the last few years to be a really good player, but he didn't always think his way through situations on the court as well as he could. That's really changed this year. I think he takes much better shots, and he's just a leader. He's clutch. He's really good. Adige, while he has struggled offensively, has been a fabulous defender. It's just a good team. And, you know, we had Chris on our show today, and he said it's not just that guys play their roles, it's that guys star in their roles. That, hey, if your job is to go in there and be a dirty work guy, not only do they do that, but they embrace it. And I do think that's really been the key for them.
Penn State has not had an All-American since Jesse Arnell back in the 50s, and contrary to popular belief, I did not announce those games. But Jalen Pickett Jalen Pickett is a second-team All-American, first-team All-Big Ten. What have you seen, Dave, in the 2 years here in his development?
I just think it's been amazing. I think that we misuse the word unique a lot in sports, Steve. Unique, as you well know, is one of a kind. And I would say it kind of applies to Jalen Pickett. I mean, I can't really think of a comp for him. A guard who basically plays the low post, who can shoot from the outside, but that's not his strongest suit. His strongest suit is seeing the court, is rebounding, he's a great scorer. I mean, a guy who can go get 41 for you if you need him to. I just love him. I love his game. I love his story. I am a huge fan of the underdog, and I think a guy who comes out of high school and doesn't have a single offer and then goes to prep school to get an offer from Siena and then ends up being, as you said, second-team All-American and one of the best players in an incredibly competitive league, I just think that's a great story. And he just seems like, you obviously know much better than I do. The limited interaction I've had with him has been great. He's just eminently likable. And he kind of epitomizes what that team is about. I mean, they're going to play in a really unconventional way. You don't have a traditional big guy. I think that really they did an incredible job of kind of constructing a team that Micah kind of looked at what he had and said, okay, like, this is the way that we're going to win. Maybe not unlike Northwestern in some ways. Mm-hmm. Surround a guy who sees the court incredibly well with great shooters, and this is how we're going to do it. And man, have they done it. It's been incredible. And these last two finishes, the game against Northwestern was amazing. And then, to beat Maryland in the way that they did, for Cam Winner to come in and have two straight game-winning shots, it's just been awesome.
You mentioned about the big man in this league, and several guys epitomize that, whether it's a Hunter Dickinson, a Trace Jackson Davis, who in both in their own right I thought were outstanding this year. But then there's Zach Edey. When you watch him, and let's face it, he is no question, he is a Wooden, Naismith front runner. What have you seen in his development? Because the Purdue guards got tired as the season went, and he kept playing.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about their guards here as we head into March, but Zach, I mean, it's amazing the amount of physicality that he absorbs and how well he plays through it. Now, he dishes out a fair amount of physicality as well. I think it's fair to point that out. He's not some sort of wallflower in there, But man, he is another. Just I love the stories. I'm a sucker for the stories, Steve. Yeah. I've always been kind of a storyteller throughout my career, and for a guy to be the 429th ranked player, to average 4 points per game on his high school team, to basically have a handful of significant offers, and to come in and 3 years later be the best player in the country, I it's just amazing. I mean, there's a great piece that Matt Norlander did on CBS on him, and I mentioned this. It was right before I did their game against Northwestern. It was right before that game, and Matt Norlander pointed out that David Jenkins has played more years of college basketball than Zach Edey has played organized basketball. You think of how new he is to the game and how good he is, and he's got the advantage of being 7'4", but there are a lot of really tall guys who aren't great players. Mm-hmm. He made himself into a player. He's incredibly disciplined. He's got a great routine. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he comes back next year. I mean, we kind of know where the NBA's gone. It hasn't gone towards 7'4" guys. You got the NIL possibilities. It just feels to me like it would kind of make sense for him, and man, it'd be great for the Big Ten and for college hoops.
And I'm in complete agreement with you on all of that. I think my gut would be he will come back. One last question, because I know your time is limited.
Yep.
It doesn't matter where the team is today. That's not this question. You've been able to broadcast games this season to see teams up close and personal. Give me the one day that you walked out of the gym after seeing a team play and go, wow.
Well, I guess it would probably be that Purdue-Northwestern game. Just because of the enormity of the moment from Northwestern's point of view. I mean, they had never, ever beaten a number one team. Mm-hmm. And to see them do it, to see them come from 8 down before the right after the under 4 timeout, I mean, to rally to beat the number one team, again, Purdue's fallen a few times since then. They're probably not the best team in the country, but we certainly thought they were at that point. I would say that moment, and again, just the turnaround is so crazy. I mean, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that I was going to call Northwestern beating a number one team, I would have told you you were absolutely nuts. I will say another one of the games that sticks out to me, and I'm just kind of Rolodexing through them, was Penn State at Illinois. Yeah. I didn't see that coming at all, and I think that was the moment where I realized the Penn State was genuinely for real, and that, you know, kind of what I really for the first time understood what they were trying to do, because yeah. Pickett was just sensational in that game, and they shot the ball beautifully, and it just kind of all fit together and made sense. So I would say probably those two stand out to me the most.
Yeah. Dave, I know there's a lot of work to do, and you fit us in into a very busy time. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in Chicago. Thanks so much.
All right, Steve. Yep, we'll see you there on Thursday.
Yep. Thanks so much, Dave.
All right, man.